It's just mercy of God, if not something. I always feel funny about it. And I'll tell the reason tonight. You see, he came, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. Now, he came for mercy, but look at what happened to him. Next verse. Have mercy. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Are we here? Now, have mercy. I brought them to your disciples, but they could not cure him. So what would Jesus would say? Okay, we give you extra mercy. Look at next verse. Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. What did the guy do? Oh, come on. What did he do? He came, he said, have mercy on me. My son is sick. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus said, you faithless and perverse, twisted generation. I always feel like that. People are talking about, you know, the mercy of God. I just feel like that. I just totally twisted about them. Forgive me. I'm just imitating my master. I mean, they look innocent. Have mercy on us. We've come to you. They could not cure him. So something's wrong with either your disciples or God or you or something. It sounds really nice. Oh, I prayed God didn't answer. Huh? I looked to God, didn't come through. What would Jesus answer you? You hear? Hello? What would Jesus say to you? He would say, oh, God didn't tell you. You faithless and twisted generation. I know you don't want to hear that. Can you just imagine you go to a pastor and say, I've been praying about something, I didn't get the answer, and he said, you faithless. What will you do? You pick up your bag and walk out of the hall, right? Are you still here? Are you still with me? The guy, he didn't say anything wrong. As far as we are concerned, he was asking, have mercy on us. I brought my child. They could not cure him. And he said, you faithless, perverse. And look at what he says. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring it out to me. It seemed that Jesus was tolerating and was getting exhausted. You know, have you ever gone to a party before? Somebody became 60 or 70. You see, it's just the mercy of God who and in the Moriba. You know, it's beautiful. Tanuria Nuba. You know, they will quote one place in Romans chapter 9 that he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. But they never read it through. The end says he will have mercy on all. Have you ever seen that before? I know you don't know. Let's go and see Romans 11. Let's go down there. Romans 11. They will read all those other verses that mercy will show mercy to him. You know where that verse is now. They don't, some of them don't even know where the verse is. They just quote it. Am I right? They just quote the verse that he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Where is that verse? Who can tell me? You know the verse now. He will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And those who are, he will harden. Am I right? Remember the story now? He will have mercy. Verse 18, Romans 9:18. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills. Romans 9:18. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. But can you just, you see, that's the story. It's not yet finished. Can you imagine I'm going to the market, and I said, I'm going to market, and I'll drop at Ijayi. And after I finish there, I'll get you Tuku. Don't just take only Ijayi. There's a Tuku, end of it. Am I right? Let's look at the end. Romans chapter 11. You there? Talking about mercy. Okay. Are you there? This is the last word he said, verse 32. For God has committed, Romans 11, 32. For God has committed them all to disobedience that he might have what? How many will get mercy? Oh. So, this man came to Jesus. He said, Lord, please, are we here? See, honestly, can I do this for you? It is not the problem of mercy. It's the problem of faith. I say that one more time. It's never the problem with the mercy of God. The problem is always on the side of faith. Let's go back to Matthew 17. Let's read. Matthew 17. Take a look. Verse 15. Lord, have mercy on my son. For he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire, often to the water. Next verse. But, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus said, you faithless. Next verse. He said, you, oh faithless and perverse generation. Can we study more on this? Let's go to Mark 9. The same story. Same story. Okay. We prayed. If just prayer. Have you heard that before? He just finished praying, and that's something bad happened to him. You know. Hallelujah. It's not a laughing matter, but it's serious. Mark 9. Are we there? Let's read the same story. Said another way, verse 14, the same story. And when it came to the multitude, are we there? I said, are we there? Okay. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Next verse. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him, and he asked the scribe, what are you discussing with them? Now, the same story, look at it. Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Are you following? And wherever it teases him, it throws him down, it foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So whose fault? Look at what Jesus said. He said, oh, faithless generation. How long? I hope we won't fight in the next couple of days. You know, this is this guy who was trusting the mercy of God. That the mercy of God will do everything. And that God will do everything. So he took his son to Jesus' disciple. Jesus was not there. And they couldn't cure him. And he came back and told Jesus the truth. They could not cure him. And Jesus said, you faithless and perverse. Can you say, Mumuwa kesanufu kura nuba. Abeko. And Jesus said, you are like backbone and twisted generation. How long am I going to be here with you? I feel Jesus was exasperated. Let me drop a bombshell. You know, Jesus never felt bad about sinners. I never seen where Jesus said to any sinner, oh, your sin just frustrating me. I never seen him say that. I never just sit to somebody and say, man, your sins, man, God can help you. But when it came to this kind of a thing about faith, Jesus was disturbed more about faith, surprised more about faith than by sin or disobedience. Now, can you just relax? We are talking about Jesus, not about me. We are talking about looking at Jesus afresh. Anybody who sees that guy, they couldn't cure him. What would they say? One try. Jesus said, you faithless. Let's keep reading. Next verse. So bring him to me. Please follow me in this story. Then they brought the boy to Jesus. And when the boy saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed for me at the mouth. Let's keep reading. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from when? Just like a doctor will clack a patient. See, Jesus is asking, how long has this been? From childhood. What should he do? What is the question? What's the question? How long has this been? What's the answer? But something is making that man to go beyond the question. Let's look at next verse. So he started talking. Next verse. Okay. And often, go back. And often he has thrown him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, just like that one, have compassion on us and help us. You see, all these statements, they are today's Pentecostal language. If you can do anything, Lord, what God cannot do? That's our language today. Second one, have compassion on us. That's mercy. We're always begging for mercy. And of course, my helper, that's our language today. So this guy is a classical Nigerian Pentecostal. Are you following me? If you can do anything, second, have compassion, mercy on us, and please help us. And look at what Jesus responded to him. This man has a problem. Look at next verse. Next verse. Jesus said to him, if you can, go back to the verse before this verse. What did he say? He said, if you can do anything. Am I right? He said to Jesus, if you can do anything. Are you hearing me? Let's take an example. A doctor having somebody who's having diarrhea. And then they said, go to the hospital. He said, if they can do anything, they can do something. Right? Take your child there. Don't say if they can do anything. Go down there and take, because they can take care of that. They can give ORT and take care of things. So this guy was saying to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. So he's doing this. Can you look up everybody? He's putting everything on the doing of Jesus, right? Jesus, do something and then we'll be helped. But look at next verse. Jesus said, not if I can do anything, but if you can believe. Are we here? Are we here? He said, not if I can do something. No, that's not the issue. It's not about me doing something. It's about you believing. Why? All things are possible to him. Who what? Not he who begs for mercy. All things are possible to him who believes. I'm not yet giving you out my subject title yet. Jesus said, let's read it in another Bible. Let's read it. Let's go to NIV. Then we look at Passion Translation. Then we look at Message and NLT. Can we go NIV? Let's go. See, Jesus was repeating, give us verse 22 before this verse. Now, can you take a look? It has often thrown him into the fire or water, but if you can do anything, follow me now, take pity on us and help us. Everybody look up here. Can you look up? Look at what Jesus said to him. Next verse. If you can, see, he's questioning him. If you can, you're telling me if I can. No, if you're not, he can do anything. Oh, everything is possible for him who believes. Don't come to talk about he can do or not can do over here. What do you believe? That's the question. I believe that he cannot, I'm this, I'm that, this, that, this, this. That's what you believe. Let's look at Passion Translation, verse 22. Mark 9, 22. Let's look at it quickly. Is it possible to get TPT? If it's possible, let's do it. If he tries over and over to kill him by throwing him into the fire or water, but please, begging Jesus, if you're able to do something, anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look at next verse. Jesus said to him, what do you mean if? Are we here? Please, are we here? Happy New Year. We're starting the year on the right footing. So he said, if you can, go back to verse 22. Go, thank you. But please, if you are able to do something, I mean anything, just have compassion on us and help us. Jesus replied, next verse. He said to him, what do you mean if? If you are able to believe. So Jesus was saying that your child not recovering, things not working, it's not about God, it's about your believing. You know, I don't want to hear that. That's pointing finger at me. I hate that. I didn't fail. They failed me. I didn't fail. He said, if you are able to believe, not if I can do anything, all things are possible. Let's go to next verse. Let's go to next. Let's go to Message Bible, verse 22. Is it possible to get Message Bible? We're going somewhere tonight. We're going to get into it quickly. Okay. Many times it pitches him into fire or the river to do away with him. If you can do anything, do it, Master. Have a heart and don't be heartless and help us. What's the answer? from Message Bible. Jesus said, if. Can you read that with me? There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. Clap your hands for Jesus. That's Jesus. That's the master. That's the King of glory talking. I don't trust anybody else. I trust Jesus. Praise God. I put him first. What about you? Christ is first. He said, there are no ifs among believers. What's among them? Anything can happen. So it can happen this year. It can happen in my life. It can happen for me. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, so we see all that now. So I'm trying to build up a message. So after dealing with that man, you know, the problem was the man brought his boy to the disciples, remember? Remember? And he said, you faithless. So disciples now, they are not doing anything with disciples yet. So he dealt with this man. But then, let's go to Matthew 17. Disciples now came to meet Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 17, 18. Same story. Okay. All right, let's go quickly. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out from him and the child was cured from that very hour. So the boy was okay. Now, next verse. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately. That the man said they could not cure him, remember? Let's look at verse 15. Can you go back to verse 15 for us? Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic, suffer severely, he all falls into the fire, into the water. Next verse. And so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. After saying the man was faithless, disciples were still here to get their own lesson. Are you listening now? They are still here to get their own lesson. The Jesus was not there when that happened. Let's go now to Matthew 17, 19. This is their own lesson. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, let's do our lesson now. We want to do review and mark our correction. He said, why could not we cast it out? Then they were asking. Now, I know the answer today. Onara lolonwa ba sisere laye. It works in mysterious way. That's what the answer would be. Am I right? Right? It works in mysterious way. You never know when God will do something. Jesus may help someone today. It may be you. It may be me. Maybe someone sitting by my side. So you never know what will happen. What can happen? Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible will say somebody there. Who is somebody? We don't know. Whoever somebody is, I hope it will be me, but it may not be you. Praise God. Let's look at Jesus' answer, not our own answer. Next verse. So he said to them, I want to know what you want to know, because of your unbelief. Now, I've read this verse several times. It makes me feel sad. Because I got things I couldn't solve myself. Anybody like me over here? I got issues that are bugging. I say, Lord, don't give this kind of answer because it's palatable. He said, why we couldn't kill him? He said, because of your unbelief. Hey. You know, to be honest with you, can I be honest with you? Nobody likes to be challenged and told the truth about doing something wrong. Many of us, including myself, I will look for every other reason, either Tinubu or Dapo Abiodun or local government chairman. It's never me. It can't be me. It shouldn't be me. It's because of your unbelief. So a lot of time, when we couldn't deal with certain things, let's face it, it's because of our unbelief. You know why I said so? Let's keep reading. For assuredly or verily, this is where I will take my title from today. For verily, I say to you, let's sing together, everybody. Who is talking here? Is he a liar? Is the word is true? See that word assuredly is the word for verily. For verily, I say to you, let's go. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So, we are going to teach in the next couple of days, weeks, our title will be, Nothing Shall Be Impossible For You. You like this title? Beautiful. That'll be our title. And nothing will be impossible for you. I like that. Me. Anybody qualify here? I want nothing to be impossible for me. Okay. So, we are going to delve into this. nothing will be impossible. He didn't say nothing will be difficult. Things are difficult, but he said it's not impossible. Nothing will be impossible. Can you say that to yourself? Call yourself Tunde Amusum. Jesus said, nothing will be impossible for you. Say that one more time. Jesus said to me, Tunde Amusum, nothing shall be impossible. I'm a disciple, of course. He said, and it will move, and nothing. Now, listen, I'm taking that title from the end of the verse. Are you here with me? So we need to walk through the verse, because the verse, what I just said about nothing will be impossible for you, is the conclusion. If we don't start from the beginning, we will not make it through. So let's take it. Number one, I know according to heaven's conclusion, nothing will be impossible for me. Now, I don't see that fully yet in my life. But Jesus had brought this heaven's conclusion, nothing will be impossible for me. How many of you have had some difficult things in time past and things that God had made them possible? Can I see your hands over there? Everybody has seen that. But you have not seen everything yet. Am I right? Thank you. So we are in the same boat. So he said, and nothing will be impossible for you. This is where I'm going. So let's start taking this journey through this verse. We're going to spend time on this verse. Number one, we have to see that. Please, everyone listen to Jesus. Jesus said, when something is not happening for you, is because of your own belief. You have to resolve this. If you are going to get to that end where nothing will be impossible for you, you have to start with this. If it's not possible, it's not with God, it's with me. Woo! That's a serious indictment and deliverance for your life. You have to see that whatever is not getting to become possible in your life is because of your own belief. That you're going to have to do with it. See, I had to accept years ago that if it doesn't work, it's never on the side of God. It's on my side. I must never, never say this, or else I will not get the answer. I must never say this. I wonder why God, I should stop saying that. I was saying, I wonder why I didn't get that. I wonder why it didn't work for me. Let me go and find out. That's easy. But see, when I say, I wonder why God, then I cannot find the answer, because God is God. But Jesus said, nothing, this is our topic, nothing will be impossible for you. So let's go out to Matthew 17, verse 20. And it says, give us Matthew 17, verse 20. Matthew 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. The best word there is because of your faith, not there. You hear what I just said? Unbelief is simply faith not at work. He said, whatever, if you can't, see, look at this Bible here. Look at this handkerchief here. Look at this fan over here. Look at this chair over here. Look at that thing over there. They have one thing in common. My hand can carry them. If this handkerchief is here and it's not here, my hand has not picked it to put it here. I cannot blame this pulpit for it. I can't blame this one for it. If I want this handkerchief here and it's here, my hand must go to work. If it's not moved from here, my hands have not picked it. So Jesus is referring to your faith like your hand. So if I don't have it, my faith didn't get it. Not that God. Let's start like that. See, if I see that it's me, then things can change for the better. Hallelujah. If it's God, we cannot change God. Am I right? But if it's on my side, okay, let's go like this again. Maybe this will help us. If I get C in exam hall, I can improve. Is that right? But if the school says you cannot go beyond C, I can't do anything about it. Is that all right? Let me explain certain things tonight. Let's start the year very well, in a nice footing. Many of us over here, don't believe that it's our faith that is involved. We always think it's some God or some devil or something somewhere. Let's take our Bible. Let's go. Are we ready? Take a look at this. Matthew 9. I just want to show you about your faith. Matthew 9. Let's go to Matthew 9. Now, to Jesus, can you look up here a minute? Can you look up a minute? To Jesus, faith is not passive. Jesus, when he was here, see, in the Old Testament, faith is passive. Faith was passive. Trust in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Lord will help you. The Lord will lift your hand for you. The Lord will settle it for you. Amen. Amen. Jesus, when Jesus came here, you know, I don't understand. Don't blame me. I read my Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus never said, go, keep trusting God. One of these days, he said, because of your unbelief. So to Jesus, faith is not something you use to wait. Faith goes to work. To Jesus, this handkerchief moving from here to here is not trusting God. It's getting your faith to move it from here to there. And it will move. The mountain will move. Are you listening to somebody here? Go back to Matthew 17 verse 20. Quickly, take a look. Matthew 17 verse 20. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will wait on God to move the mountain for you. That was in your Bible. He said, you will actively say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move. Not that God will come and move it. And you wait on God. When Jesus, and I know I'm causing trouble in your head. When Jesus was here, Jesus was not saying, let's trust God. Trust to Jesus is not a passive thing. It's an active force doing something. Set your computer. Are you hearing me? Jesus, you know, that will change a lot of things in our life where we are waiting on God. Prof shared a story with me. He said, there was this mountain, and there's a valley between, and you have to find a way through that valley. He said, an American got to that valley. He started thinking, what should he do? So he started looking for machine to use. He said, a Chinese got down there, and he put wood together to get to the other end. So a Nigerian get down there, he prays and jump in, and he got drowned. Huh? Did you hear what I just said? Because Christians, you know, Nigerians will say, the calf is all alone. Am I right? Praise the Lord. But Jesus, once he was not here, when Jesus was here, he was not saying, the capital of the Lord, he would do something about it. His faith will go to work. For instance, when there was no more wine, Jesus didn't say, Peter, James, and John, let's join our hands together, prayer of agreement. I'm for prayer of agreement. You understand me? he just said, put water into the water, get over there, bread, multiply. You know, what I'm saying that to Jesus, faith is active, it's not passive. Hello? I know I'm messing up with your head. Was a good message. Master Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't, you know, I will trust in the Lord. I will wait on his goodness. Fine. That's a place to trust God. But if you are trusting God, Elijah is coming. You trust God by yourself sorrow. Huh? You have to trust God to run faster than the lion. I want heights. Are we here? You don't like me anymore. I'm making some sense. Okay, so to Jesus, faith is something that happens, that you do, not something you wait for to happen to you. Hello? Are we here? I said, are we here? Okay, so he said, because of your unbelief, for I say to you. So let's look at faith. See, to Jesus, faith does it. Not that something will come from somewhere. Let's go, Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Take a look at this. Are you there? Let's start. I just want to show you about faith. We're talking about nothing will be impossible for you starting this year. Somebody say amen to that. Okay, take a look. Matthew chapter 9. Are we there? I said, are we there? Look at verse 20. And suddenly, A woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Let's keep reading. For she said to herself, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Next verse. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, what? Please, can you look up? Be of good cheer, daughter. God has made you well. What did he say? Your faith. Now, that means that if I have faith, I can get well too. You know, see what Jesus said? I don't mean faith like this. Lord, I just trust you. That is to say, Lord, I just trust you. Am I right? You don't say, Lord, I just trust you. See, this is something, right? It was active. Am I making some sense? I'm not messing with your head. Let me stay there for a while. And the woman was made well from that hour. See, your faith, not my mercy, not my power, not my prerogative. I just choose you out of so many people and I just give it to you. No, your faith can take it yourself. Clap your hands for Jesus. Your faith, you can make it happen. Nothing will be impossible for you, not for God. Yeah, to God, all things are possible. But to you too. Whoa. I believe that faith in Jesus is like a son imitating his father. Am I correct? You see, when a child starts becoming like his father, he's no longer waiting for somebody to feed him. He starts getting up to feed himself. Am I correct? You know how we raise our children? When they were small, we give them food. They wait for us to let the food cook. But now we can say, hey, take care of yourself. Even when we're not at home, they can feed themselves. Am I right? That's the kind of faith Jesus had. He had the faith of the Son of God. Not the faith of somebody as a human being trusting God to do something for him. Hello? Let's keep reading. That's Matthew chapter 9. Let's move ahead. Let's go. Jesus finished with that woman, the blind. So look at verse 27. Okay. Are we here? When Jesus departed from there, the house of Jairus, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, now please follow. Are you here? We lack mercy, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Please, can you look up? Can you look up? Can you look up? Two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy. What happened to them? Let's keep reading. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. Now please listen. Can you look up here? How many blind men? Are you here? How many blind men? Two. Jesus came out of the house. If you look at it, the verse before this verse. Give us the verse before this verse. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying, have mercy on us. Next verse. And when they come to the house, so Jesus left the house to go to another house. Am I right? Are you here with me? He left the house of Jairus. And when he left, two blind persons start saying, have mercy on us. And you know what? He never answered them. I told you, there's something about this mercy thing that I just feel funny about. Are you here? You know, mercy ni, anoni moriba, anoni. Even unbelievers, Pastor or something sang that song too. Anoni moriba. When I start hearing that one, I know something is fishy about this. I know business. I know something is fishy. When unbelievers start talking like believers, something is wrong. Or believers talking like unbelievers, something wrong with it. Forgive me, oh. I'm just thinking. Christ never majored on Anu. He majored on faith. The crying. And when he come to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, you know what he said? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Then they forgot the Anu now. And said, yes, Lord. Now look at next verse. I love this. And he said to them, he touched their eyes, according to my mercy. No, according to your faith. So, him, God, no faith, nothing will happen. Let's start the year well. He said, according to your faith, not according to my power or my strength or my mercy, according to your faith, let it be to you. Whoa. So if we start measuring what happens to you this year, how will we measure it? By your faith. Whoa. Did you hear that? It's what your faith get. That's what you get. Not what God has mercy on. So to be saying what God cannot do does not exist is a waste of time. It's actually what you don't believe you can get. Simple like that. Not what God. God can do anything. Anyway, God can't lie. Am I right? Something God cannot do, he cannot lie. I'm not against God cannot do anything. Are you hearing me now? I'm just telling you that some of these things, they don't take us very far. They sound nice. Like behind the sliver, behind the cloud, there's sliver lining. I've not seen the sliver yet. All these years I've been looking up the sky. I don't see any sliver yet. So like, it's good. It sounds good for. So just to encourage us. But when it comes to really working, it doesn't work. Are we here? He said, according to your faith. Do you know, he didn't say, according to your prayer. Interesting. Tell your neighbor, faith is important too. Wait. I mean, as far as receiving, according to your faith, let it be to you. Let's go further. I'm just showing you about faith working. Let's go to Matthew 14. Let's go to Matthew 14. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you still here with me? Look at Matthew 14. This is interesting. Let's start from verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Are you there, everybody? And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for what? But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Are you here? Are we here? Now, who was walking on the water? Ask your neighbor, how easy is that? Now tell her or tell him, tie it when you get home, fill up your bathtub. Don't go to Ogun River because you won't find it there. Just fill up your bathtub and walk on it. You're going to have some injury that we have to kind of start taking you to hospital. So he said, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter said that to Jesus. Now let's keep reading. So he said, come. And what happened? And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. For the first time, a sinful human walked on the water. For the first time. We know Jesus is a sinless man. We can accommodate that. But a sinful man with a black mouth just spoke out and just said, come. And he started walking on the water. Now look at next verse. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Can I ask you a question? What sustained Peter on the water? It cannot be power of a man. Am I right? The power of a man will make you sink inside water. You enter water, you sink. So something beyond human is sustaining him on the water. How many of you agree with me on that? So, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Let's look at Jesus' reply. What is Jesus' reply? Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, mercy yen lo gba dada ni o ba mercy yen dada ko lo ba gba nu repete to po gidi gan to ya to sawon yoku ko ni ri ba yen fale aye no he said oh you of little faith why did you doubt so it means to me that something turned off that power that was not human and what turned it off was his little faith. I guess that he was doing well before in his faith. And something happened to his faith that just turned flip and God himself could not stop him from sinking. Are you hearing me, somebody? When we talk like this, people think we are talking heresy. And Jesus said to, where's my stick? I think I left my stick somewhere there. My stick is somewhere there. I was putting it on the chair here. Yeah. Now, Jesus asked a question. Why did you doubt? Doubt is doing faith in a negative way. So, doubt is faith not operating. Jesus said, will you flee to faith? Why did you doubt? He didn't say, why did my power fail? Now, before we start, some of you are just coming in. What I'm emphasizing is this. If you are not receiving anything from God, it's not on the God side. If you don't agree with me on that, you will never really see the hand of God in your life much. As long as you attribute what's happening to you to somebody else, to God, to devil, or to something, you may never see the answer. So, number one, nothing shall be impossible for you. Let's go back to where we are reading, Matthew 17, before you came in. Matthew 17, verse 20. This is what we read. Matthew 17, verse 20. This is what we are dealing with. So, he said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Our topic for the beginning of the year, our title for our Tuesday service is, nothing will be impossible for you. So say that with me. Nothing, and I put yourself there, nothing will be impossible for me. Now, go back to Matthew 17, verse 20. That is the result of that verse. It's the end. And nothing, we have to go through the verse to see that. So number one, if you are going to, please, can you look up here? I want to say it like this. If you are going to really embark on the journey of nothing being impossible to you, you have to declare war against unbelief. You have to declare war against doubts. You have to become an enemy of doubt. You have to fight doubt like you are fighting the real devil himself. If you accommodate doubt, if you walk with doubt, forget about this happening for you. He said, why can't you, because of your doubt, same word for unbelief. Doubt made Peter to sink. Am I right? And doubt won't let you reach your goal. Period. I can't say better than that. So if you are going to get to that place where nothing will be impossible for you at the beginning of this year, declare war on unbelief. Declare war on doubt. Declare war on lack of faith. Don't let your life be built around lack of confidence, lack of trust, lack of believing, lack of that. You're going to have to now stop taking doubt as natural as human. I'm on that level. I'm on that money. No, don't do that anymore. He said, why did you doubt? See, certain things you must not doubt. Certain things you can doubt. If you look at gray hair on your head and you doubt whether it's gray or not, that's all right. But when it comes from essential issues, because of your unbelief, that doubt, you have to uproot it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's easy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's easy. If you want something easy, don't come near Jesus, because he attempts things that are big and beyond. So, number one, because of your unbelief, you have to declare war on doubt. You see, many of us, you see, baby, okay. You know, if somebody walks in here now smoking, all of you start doing like this. If you sit beside you, what will you do? I know you'll get up. Right? And then, if you don't like it, and smoke starts going up, you'll be waiting, what will pastor do here now? Are you hearing me? Why? Because smoking is not acceptable in the sight of God. Doubt is worse than smoking. And we do doubt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If you are going to make see that word, and nothing will be possible for you, you have to start attacking unbelief, doubt first. You have to just... Oh, I have to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? Some of us were born doubters. Some of us were born... We are skeptical. That's where I was born. I was born not born again. Born to doubt I grew up in a house where you never sure what will happen. When they say yes, it's no. When they say no, it's yes. When they say, oh, you're going to have Christmas gift. Forget about Christmas gift. Wait till Easter. Nothing is trustworthy. You can't take anything for granted. That's it. So, and doubly worse, if you're a Yoruba man from Oyo or your belly, you know, and now, Ro. My wife and I, we have one problem. People don't read what is written. We'll put bagada bagada on the wall like this. They just think. Why? Because you don't trust that. You know, you have a child. If you take that thing, I'll beat you. You are not trusting your word. You're not going to beat the boy now. You know that now. So the boy does like this, mommy. And then take it. And look at you. You look at him. Say, I told you I'll beat you. Smile. Walk off. You know, you never trust your word. But if you say, I told you I'll beat you, bam! Mom is serious with this word. Mom say, get out. You go, okay now. No, don't mind me. We are all like that. You know, I don't beat you quickly now. I mean, I'm not a wicked father. I won't beat you all the time. No. So take it, or I'll beat you. Okay. So don't trust our words. So number one, we have to start fighting doubt. What I say? Let's declare war on doubt. Whatever God says, we'll take it in Jesus' name. Say that with me. Whatever God says, let's dig into that for a few minutes. You see, we can never have nothing becoming impossible for us if we don't do this first. If you doubt about that business, that doubt itself will wreck the business. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. You doubt that you are able to pass that exam. That is the beginning of failing. You know, you doubt you cannot get through this course. You doubt you cannot. You doubt. You know, I just can't manage through that. Man, I doubt. You know. Pastor, are you saying I should believe anything? No, I'm not saying you should believe something that is stupid. Don't get me wrong. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Come and see something. You're going to see two people or two human beings, one younger, one older. Let's look at the younger one first. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Next verse, Christmas time. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Let's keep reading. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Can you help us take care of that child? Please help us take care of that child. Blessed are you among women. Next verse. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Let's keep on reading. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Let's keep reading. Behold, you will conceive in your womb. Now, she was not married yet, right? And bring forth a son. So I call his name Jesus. Let's go on. He'll be great. He'll be called the son of the highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. When the angel was talking, sounds good, but something is bugging her. Next verse. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? She don't know a man. It's not, number one, possible. Number two, it's not right. Let's look at next verse. And then the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Has the Holy Ghost come upon somebody like that before to give birth to baby? Whoa. If you are going out with a lady and she gets pregnant today, I say, what happened? Holy Spirit. He done it only once, he won't do it again. But that time there was no once before. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that only one who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Next verse. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. It's now the sixth month of her who was called barren. Next verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, this is impossible. You can't have a baby without a man. Now, today we are proving it wrong by IVF. Am I right, sir? We are doing IVF now without a man. You just get the fertilized ovum, implant it there, watch it that is viable, and then you got a baby. I was told at one church, here we go again. This church, this lady was not married, and she was getting old, and was actually deep alive. And then one day she came to church, she was pregnant. So the board called her, sit her down the council. He said, bullet room, only IVF. Because that one, it's not here. Oh. I said, you know, that abroad they have bank where they have fertilized, like, so you can have. Oh, I don't have time. My time is gone. Oh, don't get into this today. There was this guy in Europe that he was a donor. He's a young man. And you just go around donating regularly, donating to different banks. So, you're laughing already. So, they start getting this thing and they were getting babies. And this baby start looking one kind everywhere. And they start doing genetic mapping and they find this guy. He goes to the library, come back, donate. Goes to the library, come back, and donate. So just donate a children all over Europe. Anyway, we should not get to that. That's not good. So here we see. And go back. Let's look at what she said. Next verse. They've cut it off. Next verse. And she said, behold, Mr. Son of the Lord, let it be to me according to your. Interesting. See, it was incredulous. But an angel, Gabriel, from heaven came and said that to her. And instead of just struggling with that word, she just took that word. That's what we call believing. That's what we call faith. She just said, all right, let me be to me according to your word. Now, she was not a church girl. Let's look at a church elder. Same beginning of the book, Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah, the descendant of Abijah. His wife was of daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Let's keep reading. And they were both righteous, wow, before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. I was wondering why they put this story in the Bible. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in 8 years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, next verse, the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of the incense. And then an angel, the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He was offering incense. He said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. So I call his name. Now, his own case is different. Now, the other lady's case was not possible, right? His own was difficult, right? Because he had Father Abraham, right? That had that same story. But the girl never had that kind of story before. Let's keep reading. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Was righteous, following every commandment. Next verse. For he will be great, next verse. And he will turn many, next verse. Next verse. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. How shall I know this? Can I ask you a question? How do you know something? You either hear it, or read it. Am I right? How many of you know books here? You know books. How do you know your books? You either had it taught in the class or you read it. And then you can say, I know this. Okay? So how will he know? The angel spoke, right? Declare the word of God, which is knowledge. And he was saying, how will I know this again? So the angel said this to him. Let's read it. And then angel said, I'm Gabriel, who stands in presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you this glad tidings. Next verse. And Behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until that these days things take place because you did not believe my words. The very first thing, if you are going to have all things becoming possible for you, is stop challenging the word of God. Stop excusing yourself from the word of God. Stop thinking it can. You know, I got people like that chatting. It frustrates you. But I don't know why. You explain. They come at the other side. They come at the other side. Why God didn't do? Why feeling God? Why didn't God? Why? You spend time trying to convince them, and they will tell you. One told me. He said, "You know what? All you pastors speak the same way. You defend God. Who else will I defend? Ayatollah Khomeini. Who else is reliable? Wow. So number one, if you are going to start this year right on the right footing, let's declare war on unbelief in your personal life. Let's shift from being Zechariah to Mary. Praise God, somebody. Is that right? See, I better believe God and step on the water and sink, and it will help me than sitting down in the boats and watch life pass me by. Praise God. Praise God. Tell yourself, I'm going to trust God this year. I'm going to believe His word. All right, let's go a step further. Are we here? Are you here with me? Happy New Year. Matthew 17:20. And he said to them, because of your unbelief. Remember their question, verse 19 says, and they came, disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Did you hear somebody asking to see Reverend Bola Ojo privately last Sunday? And Reverend Bola just started talking like an American and saying, Philip, I got a friend in town here that Reverend Mrs. Kemia Moso that can take care of you. You know why they want private audience? Because they think that we can get private answer that's not public. The thing that something else is beyond that will answer their question. The same God, the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? The same God, the same Spirit, the same Jesus. Hallelujah. So, number one, let's declare war on unbelief. Number two, look at that verse. For surely I say to you, that sounds like Buhari. I assure you, nothing happened. The old man is going to his house, enjoying his retirement. See that word, assuredly. Let's give us King James Version. KJV. And said to them because of your unbelief, for verily, see that word, verily. That word, verily, I don't know whether TPT will put it there. Let's go to TPT. Maybe TPT will give us, because it's a little bit Aramaic in this. Oh, no, it's not there. Go back to NKJV. That word verily, go back to KJV. That word verily is from the word amen. Now, please, can you look up? Can you look up? Jesus didn't have to say verily. Every word is true. Right? Am I correct? I mean, if you are not a liar, every word you say is true. But when you now say, really, seriously, something must be fishy. Something must be beyond that. I ask myself, why did Jesus put verily? He could have just said, like he said to Peter, come. He didn't say, verily, come. And he walked on the water. Why did he put verily? Then remember another verily? John 3:3. Give us John 3:3, King James Version. Remember that verily? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why did he have to say verily? His word is true. I think this is what I feel. I think Jesus was saying, mark this word. Mark this word. It's an all-time answer. Like born again. It's an all-time answer. When he says verily, that means that heaven is behind it and it can't be denied. Now wait. If that verily in Matthew 17:20 is not true, then verily be born again is not true. Did you hear what I just said? If this verily is true, then verily in Matthew 17:20 is true too. Give us Matthew 17:20 KJV. For verily I say to you, quickly, Matthew 17:20. For KJV, not NKJV. I want to show you because it's still actually KJV. Thank you. For verily I say unto you. Same word, verily, is that same word, verily. If that verily is not true here, it's not true by born again. Born again is a fallacy. Pastor, why are you doing this? I am doing this to establish the fact that this verse is true. You know, to be honest with you, I want to excuse this verse from my life. And I want to help Jesus not to be too hopeful about my life. I don't want him to think that, honestly, nothing shall be impossible unto you. I think Jesus is putting such a premium on my life. I think Christ believes that this is possible for me. And can I help Jesus today that to say, Lord, don't have such a high hope. I know who I am. But how many of you will say, Lord, let's try it. Anybody here? Let's attempt it. Okay, Matthew 17:20 verse. Let's go to NKJV again. For verily I say to you, or for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you say to this mountain. Now, let's now read the real thing now. We've been looking at, when you eat my mind, you remove, you first start from the end, right? All that around. So we'll be talking about unbelief, verily. Let's now go now to the real thing. This is what we're going after now. You know that it says, and nothing impossible for you, actually start from around here. For verily I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and then nothing. So the result of nothing being impossible for us is in learning to have faith. Am I right? As what? As a mustard seed. And when you, please, are you here? There are three stages of nothing being impossible for you. There are three stages. If you have faith as a mustard seed, first stage. Second stage, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. Third stage, and it will move. Very simple. So there are three stages into making all things happening for you. Any problem? Thank you. Now, listen. Are you here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? You know, look here, I don't like just telling a story. I want to know how to make it happen. Anybody like me here? I want to see how it happens. I don't want all things are possible. But how can it happen? What will make it happen? What step do I take? Tell me about the soup, but how do I cook it? So, he said, listen, are you here? Are you here? Forget what you have learned from anybody. Let's hear from Jesus. Jesus said, if you have faith, have you heard before? Terms and conditions apply. It didn't say if you have faith. It said if you have faith as a mustard seed, you must have faith in a particular way. How? As a mustard seed. When you have faith as a mustard seed, then you will say to this mountain. Interesting. Interesting. You know what I feel? I think I need a mountain faith to remove mustard. You didn't hear that? Mustard is the smallest seed. Many of us, this way we think, I must have a gigantic faith to even blow my nose. Are you hearing me? Huh? And Jesus said, you have faith as a mustard seed. Let's analyze it. When you have faith as a mustard seed, you must have faith as a mustard seed. Then second, you will say to this mountain. And then third, what will happen? It will move. Are you here with me? What are the three stages again? What's the first step? You have faith as what? Mustard seed. And second, what should you do? It is a pray. Say to this mountain. Do what? Move from here to the specific direction. And then third, it will move. I like that. I like that. Man, I like that. So I know what to do now. I got it made. It's not happening yet, but I got the formula. First of all, I must have faith as a mustard seed. When I'm sure I have faith as a mustard seed, I can say to the mountain, what? Move from here to there, and thought it will move. And then you will say about me, all things are possible for him. Clear? So the question today as we round up is, how do I have faith as a mustard seed? Second, learn to say. Do you know that people, now, do you know what people do today? They jump that step and start speaking. They start saying something. Please forgive me. Please forgive me what I'm going to say now. Forgive me before we start. Have you ever given somebody something or somebody give you something? Huh? And they said, I prophesy, you will never lack anything. That prophecy, use it on yourself first. Forgive me, oh. Wait, you don't have, and I give you. And then you are prophesying to me that, Pastor, you will never lack anything good again. Go walk. Huh? You should not be talking. There might be no. And then they start saying like this, you will not lack, your children will not lack. Don't say that. You are not able to do that. If you are able to do that, they will not be, you will not be asking for help. It might be no. I don't like wasting words. Like one man came on the TV. He said, see this handkerchief. It can do anything. If you put it in your pocket, it will multiply money. If you put it on your head, it will cure you. When he finished preaching, he said, please send us money. He said, use your handkerchief. You got the gist. You see, we waste words. We know that those words won't come to pass. You know that we're just running. You know that they will lack. Don't you? Come on, talk now. Come on, talk now. Akpo yo ni gbe lai lai talapo ngbe talapo ngbe talapo talo talo lack money talo lack. See, all those things we do, we think that we are, you know, we think, forgive me, oh. We don't trust our word. He said he will say to this mountain and this mountain will move. So if mountain move, they start running. We never expect, you know, you start praying. You want to give you some Stop that. You don't have to say that. Just give thanks to God. I thank God for him. Am I being no? Because if that prayer can work, why is it not working for you first? Pastor, today, it's only part of the year because we've caused trouble. You know, just do this. Oh, thank you so much. I pray that God will supply all your need for blessing me. God will increase you. Fine, God. But no, don't. You don't have such a thing. You came to my house early in the morning because your children have not paid their school fees. And then I gave you the money. You're telling me I will never lack. You don't have that kind of mouth to tell me that. You don't have it. You see, words are too cheap for us. Huh? How come I saw? No, he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. So you must have that faith first as a mustard seed. Then you will say to this mountain, and then the mountain will move. Now, all of us can be saying things, it may never move. Now, let's go now. Let's start rounding up. What does it mean to have faith as a mustard seed? First of all, let's start with seed. Then we look at mustard. Are we ready? What is a seed? Oh, I wish I'd come with seed. There are any beans around? Samuel, can I get something? Beans, rice or something? Okay. You can get beans. You know beans? What is a seed? Number one, that is one. A seed is small. If you find a seed as big as this, that's no problem. Can we have any seed as big as this? It's in here now. What is the seed? First of all, when you say have faith as a seed, we know seed is usually small. It's always small. And that's where the problem of faith is. Because you will never think your faith can handle it. You know what I just said? That's our biggest problem, everybody here. You see, if I have this thing and I want to move it and I bring a bulldozer, I don't have to think about it, bulldozer, I clear boy. But if I bring a needle to move this speaker, either I can see me or I can see needle. Are you hearing me? So we never, everybody here, I can tell you the truth. All of us over here. Anytime you want to use your faith to believe God, you have this funny feeling that, come on, we're both, anybody know what I'm talking about right here? There's something about just will it really work? Will it really, why? Because it's small. Look at a seed of beans. How can it feed us? It's too small to feed us. Am I right? Your faith in your own sight is too small to solve your problem. Your faith in your own sight is too small to make that thing happen for you. It's too small to have your victory for you. But don't doubt it. That's seed. Number two, seed grows. Seed can grow. Huh? Seed can what? Number one, seed is small. Number two, seed can grow. Hallelujah. So if you have faith as a mustard seed, number one, seed is small. Number two, seed can grow. Number three, seed is alive. That's it. Seed has life in it, am I right? You can take a stone and take a seed. They may look alike, but one is alive, one is not. In fact, let me surprise you. That seed has the DNA of the trees. You know, how many of you can count how many trees are in a seed? You can't. Number one, thank you, dear. Thank you very much. This is the base. You see, it's small. Can't feed me. But I said, it can grow. And you know what? It's alive. How do you know it's alive? It's always alive, not here. Life will come to this seed the moment you plant it. It is never going to grow here. Until it's planted, so number one, it's small. Number two, it grows. Number three, it has life. And number four, it can only grow when it's planted. You're looking at seed. No mustard yet, just seed. Number one is small. It's small. You will never think your faith is big in your own eyes. You will never. Nobody thinks their faith is big. If you think your faith is big, something's wrong with you. You go, oh man, I really got faith. God. That's where you start having problems. The second, if you look at all those that Jesus really helped, they never mentioned their faith. Let me give an example. Look at the woman of the issue of blood. She never said, my faith. Jesus said, your faith has made you. But she never said anything about faith. Second, look at the centurion man. He said, speak your word only, and someone to you. Whatever, I tell this one, he goes and he comes. And Christ said, I've never seen any faith like that. So faith is small. Number two, faith is what? Alive. Number three, faith grows. And number four, faith actually grows when it's planted. Lastly, when you plant it, it multiplies. You will never plant one seed and get two on it. You can't plant seed and get three. You get seed in multiple forms, am I right? When they plant this, one or two of these, when it grows, okay, it's on the screen. Seed is small, seed can grow, seed is alive, can only grow when it's planted. And seed, number five, grows, multiplies when you plant it. Seed multiplies when you plant it. Number five, multiplication takes place. So Jesus said, I must have faith as what? But he even qualifies it as mustard. Let's look at what mustard is. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? We are looking at how to make it work. What does this open to? Mark chapter 4. Let's look at what this mustard thing is all about. Mark 4, 30, 29. Or 31. Either of the two. Give us 31. Mark 4, 31. Okay. Start from verse 30 to make it clear. Then he said, to what are we likening the kingdom of God? Or with what parables are we picturing it? Next verse. It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than what? All the seeds of the earth. Kingdom of God. Next verse. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes what? Greater than all herbs, and shoot out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Jesus is describing God's kingdom as mustard. And what about mustard? It's the smallest of all seed. Have you noticed that when you start believing God, it's the most ordinary thing, it's the least, it's not usually the best thing you can do. For instance, how can I be believing God when I have this issue of financial distress? Let me open the loans app. The loans apps are bigger. They got increasing base for the money. How am I sure that trusting, I'm going to trust God for that money? No, it is too small. It's unreasonable. I have this, and I got loans app. Look at verse 31. It's smallest. It's smaller than all the seed on the earth. It's incomparable. People don't do faith because it's not normal. It's not reasonable. It's not the common thing. It's not popular. Everybody's doing something else. It is smallest. Sometimes I can even tell you, many of you that God surprised you, you notice that it just happens. But there's something about seed. Unlike factory, they grow naturally. Have you noticed that? It takes Bonvita so many manpower, so many much of power and resources to make one thing of Milo or Bonvita. But go to the bush. Cocoa tree grows it for over 45 years after 5 years of planting. You will see it every year naturally coming out with cocoa seed. Just hanging there. The factory of Bonvita cannot last long or have to do some servicing. Am I right? But this tree planted, this cocoa seed, 35 years, 45 years, I got cocoa tree in my village that I've been there for donkey years. Some palm trees are 200 years old from one seed, and they grow and they grow. You know what? If you are going to use your faith can be so strong later that your children's children will live on it. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? They come and take shape. If you will dare trust God and start acting out now. It looks so small. It looks so stupid. It looks so not ordinary. So ordinary. But try start doing it. A time is coming. It becomes so beautiful and so great that people around you will come and nest in your house. When they come around you, they will get peace around you. You open a hospital. You trust God for them, and they have children. Dr. Riva does that. The infertility, yeah, he's testing them, but his faith goes to work. He's praying. 6 months later, they got delivered. You open a business and then your faith start working and start drawing customers, and even you can give out customers from there. Your faith can become, see, that is so small. But people don't want to do that, it's too small. But that's the kingdom of God. It looks so stupid to act out like that, to trust God, to, you know, and take the word of God. No. I think I want to come in surgery. That's why people don't do faith. But you know what? My father attacked us for following Jesus. But those of us that were about us then now became the pillar of the family. He was so ashamed of us that time because Jesus came. So, very small. Mustard. Will you start with the small? What will you say to Jesus? They had 5,000 to feed. And then Andrew said, we got 5 loaves here. That's where faith is. Faith is not in the bakery. It's in the 5 loaves. Where do we start from? Huh? That's it. You know, till today, I still had that struggle. And Oluwa ke dale kari. Have you noticed that when seed grows, there's no explosion? There's no that's factory. Takes so much energy. But you see, Coco, you see all these things grow around you. And can I ask you a question? Which multiplies more? The seed you plant or the milo in the bonvita? My wife told me now they are reducing the quantity and increasing the price. Are you hearing me? Before it's 450, it's now 430 gram. But plant is still planting. Plant is still multiplying. Am I right? Second, remember we said it has life in it. Have you ever seen sometimes you plant seed in the even on this pavement and you see the pavement cracking and the seed and the leaves coming out? Have you seen that? Even they crack rocks. So, there is the life of God in your faith. Amen, somebody. Amen. If you dare, Pastor, I never seen my faith really alive. Plant it first. So you have to do that. You have to plant your faith. You have to plant your faith in specific now. Say, you have faith as a seed, you plant it on a mountain. And before you know it, that mountain will move. The seed will move the mountain. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Now, bulldozer will do it faster and easier to see. But faith comes as a seed. And the seed, naturally, at the end, you see the mountain moving. My problem is that I want to see it. Go blow. And go blow, say. Fame and celebrity, faith doesn't participate in it. I was watching BBC documentary on TB Joshua. Have you watched it? 3 episodes. I watched 2 episodes. He wanted fame. And he wanted glory. And faith can't go that way. So he must have magic. And you see the oppressiveness among the disciples. You see the forcefulness by force, but you see Jesus lifting and liberating his disciples. Look so small. In fact, they had to get Judas to pick Jesus among them because he was a servant, not the master, in their midst. Faith is like that. You want something famous and celebrity? Your faith can help you. Go that other way. Go and check. You want to meet all the high and mighty? Faith can help you there. Faith starts small. Faith is innocuous. Faith is small. It's not considered. Are you hearing me? But it can move mountains. Praise God. So, number one, we must have faith as a seed. Okay, Pastor, what does that mean? Faith as a seed. Look at this. Luke chapter 8, verse 11. This is the parable. Beautiful. Luke 8:11. The book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 11. This is not it on the screen. All right. Now, the parable is this. The seed is what? All right. So, if I'm going to have faith as a seed, the tangible seed I can hold on to, that seed is the word of God. Let's start something before we close, then we'll continue next week. Let's look at definition of faith. Let's go. Chapter 11, the book of Luke. Sorry, book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I want to help you, and then we'll close. We'll continue next week. Now, when you say faith, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Okay, let's round up. Now we're going to give our offering. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. This verse needs to be clarified so that we know what we're talking about. Look at next verse. I like next verse. For by it, the elders obtain what? So, how many of you want testimony here? Okay, so how do I get a testimony? I like the Bible, it's so clear. How do I get a testimony? My faith will deliver testimony. Oh, by the way, I forgot something. You know what? Look at this seed, it's alive. When it's roasted, what happened to it? It will still be good, maybe for eating, but it can't plant it anymore. You know, the devil has one purpose. He wants to roast your faith. Test and try us. Are you hearing me? It set up fire of affliction, troubles of life, make you doubt, make you drop it. But you know what? This seed is different. Even when you roast it, it has eternal life. This one has normal life. You roast it, it dies. But when your faith is roasted in the fire of affliction, it comes out better. 1 Peter 1, take a look. Roasted corn is dead. Though it's good to eat you, but kind of a thing, but look at 1 Peter 1, quickly. Let's read it and then round up some of these verses. Take a look. Verse 16. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved. See that? Can you look at everybody? Grieved. Grieved by various trials. Things not working out. Can I ask you a question? See, there is some trouble when you start working by seed as a farmer. When you have some, are you here, everybody? When you have some things you are eating, you have some seed you are eating some, and then you plant some. Have you noticed that it doesn't grow fully by next day? It's gradual. And the trouble is this, it takes longer and your resources start finishing. Am I right? In fact, just before harvest, you've almost finished your store. How many of you agree with me on that? It becomes really rough time. And if you notice, usually harvest time is during dry season. Usually. Or some things happen in dry, that's right. That's some grieving, trials. Let's keep reading. Let's see. Next verse, quickly. Next verse. That the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. Christ will reveal himself and finish your faith. We are going to see Jesus as our faith founder and our faith finisher. It's called the author and finisher. We'll see that as time goes on. But first of all, I want to clarify this. Devil wants to roast your faith in fire. But your faith has eternal life. It's indestructible. Please, don't judge your faith by your circumstances. Are you hearing me? Don't judge your faith by your circumstances. In fact, when things are bad, your faith can really come out better. You hear what I just said? Did you hear me? Come, when did the woman of the issue of blood, when did her faith show up? When she had spent all that she had, am I right? Come on, talk to me, right? Right? When did the faith of multiplying bread came? I mean, when they were 3 days and 3 nights hungry, am I right? Am I right? Fainting on the way, right? Faith stepped in. So don't look at circumstances. One of your greatest fights of faith is bowing down to circumstances, circumstances bowing down to you. One of the greatest pictures of a man of faith is that circumstances don't move him. If he gets $10 million today, he won't go, ah! And if he's lost $10 million today, he'll say, mm. He just. Why? Because his confidence will take him through. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. His confidence will take him through. Things will happen. It's not moved by circumstances. When he gets a new car or a new house or a new job, and when they bash him at work, he come back and say, see me. He's just stable. He's just constant. He's just consistent like God. Why? His faith determines his life, not what is happening around him. Am I making some sense here? Let's close. Hebrews 11:1, we are quoted. I got 3 minutes more to round off. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Can you look up? I want to make this verse clear for you. You won't forget it for a long time to come. What does it mean by substance, hope, evidence, not seen? Now, can you look up? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can you look up? Imagine I'm a farmer. I'm hoping for a bumper harvest, right? And I can't see the harvest yet, right? Harvest is coming, I can't see the harvest yet. So what do? I take seed in my hand. My hope is the substance. This seed will substantiate my hope. I can hope for a harvest, but I must get this seed. It is substance. I can't see the hope, but I can see this. And this, when I plant it, it's going to substantiate my hope. I can bank on this. I don't see my hope. I have a bumper harvest ahead of me. But that harvest hope has no substance. This is my substance. Am I making some sense? Until I have this, and I clear the ground, and I plant it there, I won't see the harvest. So my hope has no substance. I can hope forever. Don't ever live in hope. Hope is a dream, but he that wants his dream to come to pass must wake up and plant some seed. So the farmer will say, here is my seed. I got a substance. He clears the farm. He starts planting. And when you ask him, what is your evidence of that thing you don't see? He will say, this is my evidence. I got seed. But you'll be a fool to have no seed and say, Mama, I need farm lagon. Oma grow gone. As a farmer, is a fool because there's no substance. There's no evidence. So what is your faith? It's the substance. It's the evidence. It's a seed. So Jesus was saying this. Have a substance to your faith. Don't yourself be having shadow. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. One of these days, I'll be rich. You're wasting your time. Don't confuse hope with faith. Many of us are talking hope. We're not talking faith. When you're talking about faith, you do something. When about hope, you dream alone. One of these days, I'm going to build me my house, and my house will be very big. That is hope. When you go buy land, clear the ground, get approval, that's faith. Am I making some sense?
Pastor, I'm trusting God. I will do my PhD this year, and I will wait.
And you don't buy form. You don't go pay school fees. You're going to have to see seed. Tangible. I can see this. I can't eat it, but I can plant it. Make some sense? So what is faith now? Faith substantiates your hope. It's the evident demonstration of unseen realities. When I take this seed in my hand and I go to the farm, I start clearing it, I'm demonstrating my evidence. Right? You are looking at me one kind. Am I making some sense? Don't ever say this. I'm trusting God. I look up to God. Where's your seed? Pastor, what's that one? Utigbe already. Let me make you laugh. Sister Moji is over there. Before she got married, we are trusting God for your husband. Let me close with Sister Moji. What a nice way to close the service. You know, we are trusting God those days. Sister Moji was taking all her steps. She will attend women's meeting. Why? She could have been staying by herself and say, I will not go anywhere like people do. She go to women's meeting and learn the ways of men from all these who are married. Huh? Bratito was lost that time. Grace found him. I was once lost. Now I'm found. Now, Sister Moji start trusting God. But one day, I was praying. And then I had God saying to me, give me a seed for her. He said, as she received her husband, I said, what's that? Receive your husband. Then he gave me the verse. Whatever things you pray for, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. Believe that you receive it and you will have it. You receive it, then you have it. You don't receive it, you don't have it. So I said, Sister Moji, I call her. Remember? I called my office. I said, Sister Moji, have you received your husband? She looked at me like, Reverend. She didn't get it. I didn't get it either too, but what I had from the Lord. So now, that seed of Mark 11:24, I told her and I said, we have to receive your husband first before we can have a husband for you. And your husband won't show up until we do that. So, you see, receive a husband. Didn't have the picture. It was black and white seed of the word of God. Then the Polaroid came, true color. Ratito showed up. Ratito is over there, a husband for many years. Now clap your hands for Jesus. One of my classmates, I didn't know this very well until I started becoming a pastor. I didn't know very well. I just thought it's just hope, sha. One of my classmates, Sister Nike. You know Sister Nike? Yeah. She was my vice president in the fellowship. She was so nice, but nobody was going to her. Everybody goes to everybody else, but you don't go to family. Because she's like a mother to all of us. Who wants to marry your mother? So it was December time. I went to her room to go and see her. I was a rough guy those days. I'm nice now. So she was sitting on the floor and she was crying. And I knew the reason why she was crying because, I mean, nobody was in her life. She was in medical school rounding up. You know, I was rough those days. She was on the mat there. I just jumped on the mat. You know, I won't do that. I just grabbed her shoulder and said, hey, husband, wherever you are, show up in the name of Jesus. A few weeks later, Rabbi Aaron showed up. I wonder, what did I do? I planted a seed. If you have faith as a form of seed. Huh? We were crying before, we were looking, but something became substantiated. Are you hearing me? So we will see all that, God helping us. Let's stop now. Are you blessed today? But don't forget, nothing shall be impossible for you. You know our steps now. Number one, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Number two, you say to this mountain. Number three, it will move. Amen? Amen? We got the deal. We got the formula. You say to this mountain, that's not the first one. What's the first one? You have faith as a mustard seed. And then, you say to this mountain. And then what happens next? The mountain will move. Can I give you the gist? Anytime you speak to a mountain, it's not moving. Go back and check your seed. Are you hearing me? Have you been there before? When I was on the farm, we plant seed, and then 1 month, I 4 months. Oh, I'm a digger. Cause you come back, seed that you don't know. So get another seed, and you plant it. Right? That we can do again. We can always make it work again. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Amen. Wow! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so glad that can be done. In my life now, when things don't go the way it should go, I know what to do. I go back and look for the faith as a seed. And I walk from there. It's so simple formula. It never fails. Have faith as a mustard seed. Say to this mountain and it will move. If it's not moving, go back. Are you saying it? If you are saying it's not happening, go back. Do you have faith as a mustard seed? Do you have a substance? Has it become substantiated to you? Can you grab it? Can you see it? Can you have it? I mean, in the spirit that is yours. Like now, I have this seed in my hand. I can see it. And I can plant it. But if I don't have a seed in my hand, everything else is hope. And a hope is just a dream, not a reality. Faith is the realizing of your hope. Let's stop there today. Praise God. Let's give our offering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So faith starts with a seed. Seed is small. It's alive. It can grow. It multiplies where you plant it. Praise God. I have all kinds of things happening. It's Kingdom Life course. Okay, that's Kingdom Life course anyway, on faith. Okay, thank you. All right. Beautiful. Let's give our offering. Let's pray over our offering. Our dear Father, Lord, teach everyone here, personally beside my teaching here today, teach us on this most precious faith. Show us how to use it. Teach us how to handle it. You said to us, nothing shall be impossible for us. Lord, I am praying that by the end of this year, we will see a lot of possibilities that have happened in our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give our offering. Hallelujah. Whoa. Praise God. I'm always happy teaching on faith. Always happy. Because it helps me to really help me seriously. You know.